KT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Always enjoy talking with Bishop Danny Yohannan from Gospel for Asia. And now we're joined by our good friend, Dr. Brian Nixon. Hi, Dr. Nixon.
Well, great to be with you, Jim. As always, I enjoy our time together.
Well, before we get started, I have to thank our presenting sponsor, Bosque Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration, for service. Call 444-7200. In fact, they just came out and did a nice job of repairing my daughter's bathtub, and we so much appreciate them.
Nice. Yeah,
Bosque Plumbing and Heating. Carlos Griego is an amazing guy. He's a neat Christian man, and boy, I'll tell you what, they respond and get out and provide some good service. Brian, we were talking a little bit about New Mexico. Brian, you're the assistant pastor or an assistant pastor at Calvary Church. You also oversee publishing and education for the church. Mm-hmm. You're an author of the book, The Master Teacher. And of course, we've talked about Tilt,
right,
Finding Christ in Culture, which is available at the bookstore. So we're going to talk about education today. A lot of people are facing all kinds of dilemmas. Do they homeschool their kids? We've got this distance learning still kind of going on. Schools kind of, I guess you would say, still partially shut down.
Right. I would say most public schools are shut down for in-class learning. They're attempting to the best of their ability to have online learning. I don't know if that's successful for all families, though.
Brian, we're all learning. And so today we don't intend really to offer criticism as much as we like to talk about alternatives and things that are happening and even things that you've been doing,
right,
in education with Calvary College, and you've been working with Veritas. You've been talking about things that we're doing to disciple men and women who are interested in this. You have some high school graduates that are getting out and getting involved in these classes. But even before COVID hit, we've really had a crisis in New Mexico.
Right.
According to the Kids Count Data Book 2020, New Mexico ranks 50th in education in the country and 49th in family and community. And again, we're not offering that up as necessarily criticism, but just as a fact. When we compare ourselves to other states, we're not high on the list.
It's true. And it's good for our listeners to know, Jim, that there are many contributing factors that weigh into such a low ranking. And I have the form before me, thanks to you, Jim. But some of those factors are economic well-being, such as children living in poverty, children living in households with a high housing cost. And then it gets into the education aspects of it. But the point is that many of our kids are not receiving the education that they should. And there are a lot of contributing factors to that. There could be the home life. There could be the economic, socioeconomic standings of family. It could be that families just don't value education as much as probably we should be valuing. So all of these contributing factors come in to play in a New Mexico classroom. And the results are, well, very, very sad. To be the bottom of the barrel isn't something to be proud about. But on the other hand, there is one good point with all of that, is there's only one way to go, and that's up.
And that's up.
So, you know, when you're at the bottom, you're in last place, if you will. The positive news is there's only one way to go. You can't get any lower, but you can get higher. So the question is, what do we have to do to not only for our public education, but for families to begin to get their kids higher up on the ladder, if you will?
Brian, in your role overseeing education, here at Calvary Church, you have deployed a lot of technologies. You mm-hmm. are recording all the presentations that your teachers are putting together. And I know, just for example, Pastor Skip's sermons.
Mm-hmm.
He puts out and publishes an outline before every one of those are presented online. Everything's, you know, available through the YouTube channel, Facebook Live. I get those notices all the time. I know people like Steve Smotherman and Legacy are doing the same type mm-hmm. of things. What I like about what Skip's doing, though, is you can access the outline before the sermon starts.
Yeah.
And then you've got a complete transcript after it's over that's posted online. These are things that seem like they would be applicable in any kind of education setting.
Yeah, and that's, in a sense, that's education 101, to provide various outlets for students to learn. In the case of churches, students are, include adults. But in schools, particularly grammar or middle school or high school, you want to afford that child multiplicity of ways to learn the information. And that could be visual, that could be auditory, that could be written. All of these factors come into play. And there's a fella by the name of Howard Gardner, and he is a Harvard education specialist. He's a psychologist. And many years ago, he wrote a book describing his research called Multiple Intelligences. And what Howard Gardner discovered in his research is that students, children, learn in a variety of ways. And at the time, when I was in the credential program, there was seven main ways kids could be learning. And every kid has a strength in one of those seven areas. So his charge to families and to teachers was to find the strength of that student and then teach to that strength, but at the same time, find the weakness and help them get up the ladder in those weaknesses. Well, since that time, through more research, it's no longer just seven intelligences, but there's nine intelligences now. So I think one of the things that families, and we just can't leave this up to the schools, I firmly believe that education begins in the family. Families have to take ownership, kind of like we're being challenged in today's world to take ownership of our health because health insurance isn't that great. We need to be doing the same thing with our education because our education is not that great. Again, not necessarily the fault of public schools or different systems. Again, as I mentioned, a lot of factors, but families need to grab a hold of that and begin to help elevate their kids. And I think one of the first things parents need to do, particularly as kids get closer to the junior high era, is find out what their learning strength is. And what's great, Jim, is you could go online, type in multiple intelligence test, have your middle school or your high school student take it, and find out where their strengths and where their weaknesses are. And it's a simple, easy test. And then you could begin to formulate and encourage education within those realms. So Howard Gardner's one way, you know, getting into the research. By the way, I won't give them all because we'd be here all day, but some of the learning strengths would be musical. Someone learns better through, of music or sing songs or so on and so forth. Then you have the introvert, the extrovert. You have the logical mathematical. You have the verbal linguistic. And the list goes on. And so what you have to do is find your student's strength and then help bolster that. And then when you find their strength, you'll also find their weakness and then find ways that you could help them in those weaknesses. So I think the family, A, needs to get very involved. B, you need to hone in on what your student's strengths are. And then C, your family unit really has to be a unit that is encouraging education. Even if you didn't like school, still encourage it. Talk about the value of education in your home because kids will pick up on what you're saying. And if they know you value it, chances are they may begin to value it. But if all child hears in your home is, school's boring, it's nothing, I hated school, why do we even have to go? That type of attitude will influence and affect the student, the child.
Brian, if you've had that attitude, is it too late to learn now and be part of the learning process with your children?
Oh, no. Yeah. If you have that attitude, and you may be listening right now and you may have that attitude, but I would say tomorrow, and I'm going to use, Christian terms, not terminology here, repent of that attitude and get straight. And rather than say, I hate school. It's boring. It's going, maybe use words like I struggled in school, but I know it's important. And I know, you may struggle as well, but together we could do this. And you're a smart kid. You're valuable. God made you uniquely. And we're going to find your strength. And we're going to really hone in on that aspect of what you're good at. And then once a kid hears that, boy, mom, dad, you said I have a strength. You said I could do something. I think their attitude will begin to shift. But sometimes it's like turning the Titanic. It will take some time because there's been so many years in cases where families have been negative towards school or education. It's been so many years that they've been down on it that it will take a while to shift so someone can become better informed in those areas.
Brian, when we come back, Dr. Brian Nixon, he is an assistant pastor at Calvary Church. He oversees publishing and education for the church, going to give us some tips on helping our children in school. And then an interesting thing that you wrote out for me is we often think of Jesus as our ultimate teacher, mm-hmm. as the one, the master teacher, if you will. But you're going to talk about how Jesus learned himself.
That's
so stay
right
with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Tired of being quarantined? Have the pandemic blues got you down? Having a food choice crisis? Let's talk about a solution. In queso emergency, head straight for Casa Taco, winner of Albuquerque the Magazine Best of the City 3 years running. Come try the signature brisket and green chili tacos, carne asada tacos, and the amazing puffy tacos, plus much more. Convenient online ordering at casa-taco.com. Two locations in Albuquerque and one in Elephant Butte. Casa Taco.
Radical Democrats in New Mexico have allowed abortion clinics to operate with no major restrictions. No waiting periods, no parental involvement, no limits on publicly funded abortions. HB 51 was dubbed one of the most extreme abortion bills in the nation, granting up-to-birth abortions in the state. Democrats in the legislature have blocked all restrictions on late-term abortions. The right to life is something that we must cherish and fight for. If not us, then who will speak for the unborn? Joe Biden is looking at our broken system as a perfect model for the rest of the country, and it's time for us to fight back. We must send a message to Joe Biden that infanticide and procedures that kill babies must come to an end in New Mexico. The corruption, out-of-state money, and disregard for precious human life end with this election. A vote for President Trump is a vote to dismantle this brutal system and defend life at all stages in New Mexico.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Inc.
New Mexico, we love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88, this month featuring the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Here's their executive director, Stephanie Liu.
We do share Christ with our clients. We let them know their value, and if they don't know their value, they're not going to value that little life inside of them.
That's Stephanie Liu from the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, this month's Mission New Mexico. Loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101. At KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque by clicking the Mission New Mexico link at KNKT.com or star88.fm.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, for those of us who have a red letter edition Bible in whatever translation, you can see all the direct quotes from Jesus and all the things that he said. So he is the ultimate teacher. But Brian, you want to talk a little bit about how Jesus learned himself as a person.
That's right. Yeah, and Jim, I love what you said before the station break. Most of us associate Jesus with the master teacher, and he truly was. I mean, when you look at the scope of how Jesus taught, he used almost every tool imaginable. You know, for his day, he didn't use technology, of course. There weren't computers. But he was truly the master teacher. Stories, parables, questions, you know, dialogue, illustrations. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And in my book, The Master Teacher, I highlight some of those things that Jesus talks about.
He did know about one technology that many of us don't use well called the Holy Spirit.
That is true. He recognized the role of the Holy Spirit. So we understand Jesus as a great teacher, but what we don't know is Jesus as a student. Luckily for us, there's only one place in all of the Gospels where Jesus the student is discussed. And I believe Luke, who recorded it in Luke 2, gave it to us not only to show that Jesus as a child was already one with the Father. I mean, he was associated. He was seeking. He was wanting to know the Father, his Father's will. But I also believe there's another reason, and that's to give us what I'd call the basic building blocks of a Christ-based education. And so in Luke chapter 2, we get the basics of a school learning environment. And there we learn that Jesus sat among the teachers. So he was with a teacher. He was with people that could teach him. He listened. So a classroom that's conducive for asking questions, for a learning environment, listening environment. But then Jesus asked questions. So he asked questions. So that classroom has to be one where the student's engaged and you're with them and you're probing and they're giving you answers back. And then here's the fascinating thing. In Luke 2:52, it tells us how Jesus grew. Jesus grew in wisdom, so he grew academically. He grew in stature, so he grew physically. He grew in favor with God, so he grew spiritually, and he grew in favor with man. He grew socially. So Jesus grew in four distinct ways, which we call here at Calvary Preschool, or I would hope that all Christian schools call it a whole child approach to education. I believe if you cut out one of those facets, you're not going to have a true Christ-based education. And I would even argue that you're not even having a holistic education. So public schools try their best to educate academically. They try to educate, you know, with sports. And then they try to educate socially a little bit. Those three areas, what's missing? The spiritual. And then, you know, in other cases, there's some Christian schools that all they want to do is the spiritual, but then they neglect the academic, they neglect the physical side. And so the true balance is when you have those four pillars, is what we call them, working in concert. They're harmonizing one another. So the whole child is being brought up. So Christ-based education is one that values the mind, you know, that values the body, the physical, you know, body, taking care of your body. It values the spiritual life and it values the social life interaction. Not because Brian Nixon's sitting here telling you what you should do, but Jesus is the model for that. And so we learn that Luke 2:52, that I believe is probably the second reason why the Holy Spirit inspired, not only to tell us the story of Jesus pursuing his heavenly Father as a, you know, preteen, but also to give us a matrix, a foundation of what Christian families should be pursuing in our education.
You have some tips for parents, and you also have a tool, the Master Teacher, a book.
Yeah, I've already kind of alluded to one tip. First of all, parents, particularly for middle school and high school students, but you could do it as early as fourth, fifth grade. You should start learning your child's learning strength. And I already mentioned that. Go to multiple intelligence, Howard Gardner's research, and take the test with the student. Even if they can't read that well, you could answer the questions with them and put it in and find out where their strengths are. Learn about your child's learning strength and then take advantage of that. Make sure that they're getting the education that meets that strength. And then where they're lacking, find the areas to support them. So learn their strength. Secondly, I've already alluded to as well, make sure the attitude in your home is positive for education. If you're always downing it and you're always, blah, blah, blah about school, they're going to pick that up. They're not going to value it. So you want to make sure the attitude is one that is pro or conducive for education. But then thirdly, I would think that after, you know, the attitude and you learn your child's, strengths, that you would find the school that is the right fit for them. And that's where school choice comes in. And here in New Mexico, even though we are 50th, as you pointed out, we still have several school options. You know, you have APS, Albuquerque Public Schools. You have what we'd say your local school. That may not be a great fit for your child based upon their learning needs and, you know, your family's values. So the next step is you would go to charter schools and find all the different charter schools. If there's one thing that New Mexico is doing well right now, it is developing some great charter schools. I think of Cottonwood Classical School. You know, they were nationally ranked for a couple of years. I mean, nationally ranked, not just one of the best in New Mexico, but they were one of the best in the country or this region.
I think they're still recognized as one of the best.
So there are some great, some great charter schools. So public schools, charter schools, and then there's some great Christian schools. And obviously, if your family is a Christian family, you'll want to make sure that you choose a school that is conducive for your family. So if you're Lutheran, there's some great Lutheran schools in town. If you're evangelical, Protestant, Hope, you know, does a great job. If you're Roman Catholic, you know, you have St. Pius and Annunciation and all these other schools out there. But you have to pick the school that you as a family shares your values and that you feel confident that is educating your child according to your child's strengths.
And if there's a takeaway I can hear in this whole meeting is that families really need to participate. But I'm thinking about that person that's a parent that maybe didn't apply themselves as much as they should have. That would be Jim Williams. And I'm thinking about, that's why I so much respect all the things that you guys do. You are constantly reading. You are constantly learning. It will take me 30 years to catch up to anything that you guys have ever done, Brian, but I so much appreciate you spending the time with us. But I'm thinking about that person. Can they learn and encourage their child? Maybe they're at the same level as their child. I don't mean that in an insulting way.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Unquestionably, you could learn. You're never too old to start learning. Even if you can't read, you could start to read. It just takes dedication, perseverance. You know there's going to be hiccups and frustrations. Even people with severe dyslexia could learn to read. It just takes time and discipline and an attitude, a can-do attitude. But I would sit down again, even as adults, type up multiple intelligence, free online, and you could take the test and find your learning strength as well. And then move towards that learning strength.
Brian Nixon, thanks so much for spending time with us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.